Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Heart of Sports with Jason Springer and Jeff Cohen. We are thrilled to join you on 610 ESPN, ready to help you move into the weekend talking about all the news in the world of sports. This week, we're going to do Best of Women on The Heart of Sports, and we have a few interviews that we like and we want to feature for you. First, we've got LPGA golfer Paula Kramer, who was in first place in a tournament over in France yesterday at the end of the first round. Then we have now World Cup champions Carly Lloyd and Samantha Mewis, and then finally, golfer Pratima Sherpa tracing her dreams to become a professional golfer all the way from the golf courses in Nepal. These are women that have made an impact in the area, and we sat and had a conversation with each of them along the way. We wanted to bring it to you today.
We're here with Paula Kramer, one of the most exciting professional golfers on the women's golf tour. Paula, how you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
So, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about this upcoming tournament that you're in the ShopRite Classic down in Galloway Township.
This is one of my favorite events. I'm so glad that, you know, it's able to, you know, still be around for after all these years. There's just so much history, and, you know, I've had so many awesome moments here at ShopRite. Just the fans are always so knowledgeable about golf and whatnot, and it's definitely, they always, you know, root for me as well, so it's pretty fun to be able to go to a place that you have so much support.
You had a lot of success early on in your career, and one of the most successful early tournaments that you were in as an amateur was when you were 17 years old and you played at the ShopRite Classic. What was it like to do that well that early on?
Well, I mean, that obviously helped me make my decision to turn professional, because of that great finish that I had, and, you know, playing with Christy and having her make that putt on the last hole and me missing. I mean, there's a lot of things that have definitely have helped me get to where I am today. But, you know, as an amateur, getting a sponsored exemption into the ShopRite at such a young age, and to be able to go back now, you know, it's my 14th year as a professional on tour, it's pretty neat that's still around.
When she made that last putt, reflecting back on that moment, do you look at it more as a positive or more as a negative?
Well, obviously, I wish I would have made mine. You know, that would have been even more special. But at the same time, you always learn from everything. And I still think about it to this day, how many years later. But at the same time, I take every experience to each their own. You know, it's definitely, golf is a game of ups and downs. And I was beyond disappointed at that moment. But at the same time, it was, I'm 17 years old, and here I am. I almost won my first LPGA event. You can't take that away either.
What was it like to have the crowd behind you as somebody that's going through that, even as an amateur?
Well, the crowds are great. I mean, I love playing in front of people. I love playing in front of fans and people that just, you know, appreciate golf. And I remember standing there saying, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is it. Here we go. And then, you know, coming down the stretch and in that situation that I was in, it was very special.
When you were growing up, did you start golf at an early age?
I started golf when I was 10. It was something that I could really just do with my dad. You know, I used to be a dancer, and, you know, so much of that was with my mom, and, you know, curling my hair, doing makeup. My dad wasn't necessarily going to do that, and this was just something that I could go out and do with him.
We've talked to Jim Furyk in the past about team play, and one of the things that I've always admired about your golf is that your ability to play well in team events. And dating back to the late 2000s, and then also with the Solheim Cup in 2015, what's a difference between playing in team events versus individual events?
I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's not just about yourself anymore. It's about the team and trying to do your best for them. You know, the 12 girls that you're with, and, you know, I've been lucky enough to have played on 7 Solheim Cups, and you know, I love being able to have a captain and a partner.
Do you enjoy the camaraderie of team golf versus individual golf? Do you become better friends and better teammates with people than if you were just playing in an individual event?
It's just totally different. I mean, you're not competing against them anymore. You're competing against other people, and you have a partner that, you know, I've been very lucky that my partners have always been quite truthfully my best friends off and on the golf course. And so when you have that opportunity to go, all you want to do is play well, not only for yourself, but for them and your team. And when you represent your country, there's, you know, no bigger aspect than that. Is, you know, that's the number one ultimate goal, and I think as an athlete, is to wear your colors and to go out and you know, represent that and play for them.
And in 2015, you guys had a historic comeback. What was it like to play with that group coming back from the deficit that you had?
I mean, it shows it as it was. I mean, it was almost, you know, not impossible by any means, but we definitely needed to go out and play strong, and we did. And, you know, I was an anchor match there, and ultimately it came down to that. And, you know, it's pretty awesome to be on a team like that. And Julie Inkster's an amazing captain, and I hopefully will be able to play under her next year, and, you know, in our next event.
What did she say to you at the beginning of that last day? I mean, did you guys have a sense?
I can't tell you that.
But so you're the last match of the day, and you guys are coming back. At that point, all the other matches are done. What's it like to have your whole team kind of following you around and kind of cheering for you? Is there more pressure when everybody's around like that, or is it kind of a boost to have everybody watching?
I've always either gone, you know, first off, or in that situation, that was the first time I ever went last, and Julie came and talked to me and asked me, do you want to go? She goes, I have a question. And she goes, would you mind going last? And I was like, really? The anchor match? And she's like, we're going to need it. You know, we're going to need all of these points. We're going to need them early. We need to end. And she's like, I would want anybody else to make a 4 or 5 footer coming down the stretch other than you. And I was like, all right. You know, I've never done it. I've always been early off. So for that, you know, to her have the, you know, the belief and, you know, faith that I could go out and do something like that was quite an honor, and to be able to do it, actually, you know, for my team, it was beyond special.
And now, as you get to this point in your career, you've gone from the young upstart to the person who's the veteran on the tour, somebody that other teammates can look up to. What's it like to now have other golfers come to you for advice and kind of look up to you for everything that you've done in golf?
When I was younger, I was, you know, people said, you're a role model, you're my role model. And I really had no idea what that meant. And now as I get older, I do understand, but I'm still learning every day that I go out there. And, you know, golf is a game that it doesn't matter how many years you play, you're always learning something. You're always tested in some certain way, whether it's mentally or physically. And, you know, I love watching the game grow. I think it's so important to be able to, you know, have women be involved in the game of golf and young kids, because, you know, the LPGA Tour is an amazing organization, and we want it to last for so many years.
Now, with regard to what you've been working on off the golf course, I understand that you're involved in a couple charity programs, including the First Tee program. How did you get involved in that?
Well, I played in the First Tee Open when I was 16 out in California, and, you know, I've always been a big supporter. I was an ambassador for them, and, you know, other than the First Tee, my foundation's for the military. It's for the families, and I've been very involved with my time, you know, trying to just bring, you know, awareness to everybody that, you know, we still have men and women that are overseas and that are fighting for us, and, you know, I'm over here playing golf for, you know, my job. At the end of the day, there's these men and women and their families that are allowing me to go and do that, and to bring, you know, awareness to that is something so special. So it's pretty neat to be a part of two different, completely different organizations, whether it's, you know, the golf or, you know, military.
How did you get involved with the military families?
My family. My dad was a retired captain in the Navy. My cousin's a Marine. He's actually Lieutenant Colonel. And it's pretty amazing to be a part of a family that, you know, they make so many sacrifices for, you know, our country, and yet they there's they don't care. You know, that's just their choice. And I find that just truly amazing. And, you know, being in an individual sport, yeah, I find it fascinating the fact that they are able to go and, you know, they have their families at home and whatnot, but yet they go and they support their country.
I've heard that you visited Walter Reed Hospital.
Yes, I have.
And that there's a funny story about one of the people there saying that they've played golf against you and you didn't recognize it.
Yes, one of the soldier was there, and he was badly burned, and I came by, and I spent the day at Walter Reed, which was, you know, beyond eye-opening. I mean, it was one of the most surreal moments I've ever had in my entire life, and at such a young age, I'm actually very thankful for it. But he told me he's beat me in golf many times, and it was because he played me and Tiger Woods in the video game, and I told him one of these days we're going to have to go out and, you know, play on a real course. So it was a pretty neat experience, and a very humbling one as well.
That's amazing. What is it like, though, for not just to be, as you said, a role model, talking about being a role model, but to see young kids play Nintendo Wii and say that they played as you? The kids grow up and say, I want to be Paula Kramer.
You know, I can't really give you an answer to that, because every day it happens, I still don't believe it. You have to kind of pinch yourself at a time. I'm just doing something I love. I love the game of golf. I've been, you know, very gifted with a lot of things and abilities to be able to come out. And, you know, people, my teams around me have given me so many opportunities to do what I love. And when I hear things like that, I don't quite understand it. You know, I'm a normal girl from California who goes out and does what she loves. And if I can get young girls and boys involved in the game because of that, then that's honestly the biggest accomplishment that I can have.
Well, that, and it also appears that a lot more people now wear pink when they play golf.
Mm-hmm.
So you've often been called the Pink Panther, and often wear pink when you're playing. How did that come about?
I was given the nickname when I was 16 years old, and I always wore pink, and, you know, it's kind of stuck. I mean, you could be called worse things than the Pink Panther. And, you know, he's on my golf ball. He's a head cover. You know, people are always out in pink. My bow is always pink. Something's pink always on me.
So are you looking forward to this weekend?
I definitely am. I can't wait for it. It's one of my favorite events, and I'm looking forward to getting back out there. You know, I had a good first 2 days last year and not quite a very good Sunday, but I'm ready to go out there and compete for 3 days.
And you're healthy now, right?
Yes, I am.
So I understand that, just the last question, with regard to your wrist, you had an injury with it and then started working better. Was it difficult to come back from that?
Oh, beyond. I mean, this is the longest I've ever taken away from golf. 6 months it felt like eternity. You know, I changed my coach. I changed everything about what I was doing. You know, surgery is obviously, it's an unknown. You never know what's going to happen. And the one that I had was definitely an unknown. There were so many parts going on, but I'm so glad that I did it. I am definitely feeling so much better. It's amazing to not play with pain. I haven't felt that way in at least 2.5 years. And it's a great thing. And I honestly, I feel strong. It's just a matter of time with all of these changes that I'm making. You know, I'm not putting any pressure on myself right now because of everything that's new in my life and with my golf swing. But at the same time, you know, I obviously want to go out and I want to win, but, you know, I have to be realistic and stay true to what we're doing with, you know, my golf for long term.
Well, Paula, we're all going to be rooting for you and watching you this weekend, and we wish you the best of luck. Thanks for joining us.
Well, no worries. Thank you for having me.
We're going to have our guest for the show. Carly Lloyd, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you so much for calling in. It's great to talk to you. How was your practice today out in lovely West Coast?
We have not had training yet.
Not yet?
That in the afternoon. No, but it's beautiful and sunny here, so.
Well, you're a local girl from back around here. I'm from Marlton myself, and I know you played at the Medford Strikers. I saw you say something about, you know, being from Delran that kind of shaped you and who you are as a person, and you had a little bit of chip on your shoulder. Can you talk a little more about that for people who aren't familiar with who you are and where you come from?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously grew up in Delran, New Jersey, which is a you know, small town where kind of everyone knows everybody, working class neighborhood. I didn't grow up with, you know, my parents not having loads of money. And I think that, you know, just kind of my emphasis of, you know, the passion that I had with the sport of soccer, the will, the determination, you know, my best friend was the ball growing up, and that's all I really cared about. And I think that, you know, being able to, you know, walk to local field down the street from my house and being able to just be a part of, you know, a really small town just kind of gave me the freedom to lay the foundation to being where I am today. So, you know, it's not about where you grow up or what resources you have or what facilities you have. You just, you know, have a passion and love for something and you go after it.
We talk a lot on this show about the lessons that people learn as athletes and the lessons that other people can learn from what athletes learn. I've seen you talk about becoming a fighter and learning to persevere. And you talk about your best friend was the ball and that was all you needed. How important was that for you to be shaped that way to develop you going forward?
Well, I don't think that I was like that per se when I was a younger kid and into my teenage years. I think that that is something that I developed. I think growing up, I was a talented kid. I didn't always work hard. I, you know, some days I gave 100%, and other days I'd give 70, 80%. It wasn't until I reached about, you know, 22, 23 years old when I met my coach mentor, who is now the director of coaching for the Medford Strikers Club and Universal Soccer Academy, James Galanis, who really instilled, you know, the fighting mentality in me and kind of changed my work ethic, my mentality on how to approach things, on just comparing yourself against your, you know, no one but yourself, giving it all you have every single day and turning every obstacle and struggle into something positive where you can learn. So for the beginning bit of, you know, of my chapter and growing up, I had the will and I had the passion, but I didn't really have anyone per se that could kind of guide me into the mentality of becoming a fighter and, you know, being able to deal with pressure per se.
Well, you certainly turned it into something amazing. What was it like for you the first time that you made the national team?
You know, it was amazing. It was, you know, I remember walking out into my first cap, which was in Portland, and there's a whole crowd full of people. I have my name on the back of my jersey, you know, representing the United States of America. It was a surreal moment for me. It was, you know, a moment where I was incredibly nervous, but it was the start of a special journey, and I've stayed, you know, true to myself from the start of my career. And we'll continue to do that. And, you know, it's been an unbelievable honor to be able to represent my country for this long. And, you know, I want to continue to keep inspiring some of the younger generation to know that, you know, no matter what you want to do in life, no one should ever hold you back. No one should ever tell you that you're not good enough. You dictate the way that your life is going to unfold. And, you know, I wasn't a big name college star coming out as the next best thing. I went to a small school college, smaller, you know, soccer school at Rutgers.
Yeah, Rutgers.
So, you know, anything is possible. You know, it doesn't matter where you come from.
I was a Rutgers boy myself. Yay, Rutgers.
Nice.
What's it like for you? I mean, you've won World Cups. You've scored game-winning goals in the Olympics. You've had all this success. Do you ever sit back and say, wow, or is it you're always on to the next thing? How do you sort of live in the moment and enjoy that journey that you're on, if possible?
I don't really sit down and say, wow. I'm hungry for more. I am addicted to, you know, continuing to be successful, and that is not successful in the eyes of the public. That is successful in my own being. And, you know, I'm constantly wanting to learn. I'm constantly wanting to improve. I'm constantly wanting to become a better player, a better person. And that's, you know, that is because I'm not sitting here saying, wow, and I'm not sitting here patting myself on the back for what I've achieved. achieve. It's very easy to become complacent. It's very easy to rest on your laurels. But in this industry, you've got to keep pushing forward, because if not, there's somebody else that's waiting behind you to snag your spot. And, you know, I want to just keep climbing and keep going.
Carly, what's it like to go to an event and have swarms of young girls and young boys come over to you and look up to you and want to be Carly Lloyd? I can't tell you how many of my friends and cousins have said to me when I've told them that you were going to be on, that they grew up wanting to be Carly Lloyd, that they pretended to be Carly Lloyd when they were out on a soccer field.
That's cool. You know, I think for me, that's really what it's all about. You know, it's about changing lives. It's about inspiring people. You know, my journey has not been easy, nor would I want it to be. And like I said, you know, the foundation that was laid for me was being able to be a young kid and take my ball wherever I wanted to take it, to the local field, jump in, play with boys, kick the ball up against the curb. For me, you know, that was the foundation, you know, that laid the groundwork. And I think we are oftentimes not really seeing too many kids going out and practicing on their own in a non-structured environment. And that's what gives you the creativity. You know, that is what has made me special amongst all the people in this whole country. And I think if you can find that, if you can try things, if you can fail, that's what it takes. So, you know, for me, it's always a message that I'm trying to get out to young kids to always believe. And, you know, it's really up to you how your life is going to go. And so it's cool. You know, that's what I love to hear. And I hope that, you know, there's kids all around the globe that I'm inspiring and helping to change their lives, because I know it definitely makes a big difference.
Well, and you're not just there for them to watch. You run clinics and participate in clinics yourself to help kids learn and play the game. What's that interaction like for you when you get to give back and teach, sort of like you were taught along the way yourself?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, I do these clinics, and they're usually a one-day, two-hour clinic. So, you know, the kids aren't coming to me and going to all of a sudden become a professional soccer player. That's just not reality. The biggest thing is just having an impact on them, you know, being able to kind of get into their mind and teaching them the tools that will help them in life. You know, if you work hard on the soccer field, you're going to most likely work hard when you're, you know, at work. If you're respecting your teammates and your coaches, you're most likely going to respect your boss and your coworkers. You know, if you're turning a negative situation into a positive, you're most likely going to be able to persevere through life. So it's really about kind of having that impact and, you know, touching them in that regard. Because, you know, let's be honest, there's a small percentage of people that actually make it. And in 2 hours, you know, you're not going to be completely just a professional soccer player. So I tried to kind of mix in the mental aspect of it as well, along with kind of giving them some tools of things that they can practice and learn on themselves.
Well, and as we head to the World Cup under a month away from starting, you've been embracing the challenges that you had. It's sort of a transition time. You've gone from more of a midfielder starting to somebody who's been a lot at striker and coming off the bench a little bit. How have you embraced that challenge, and how valuable are you now to the team to be able to come in with that option later in the game?
Well, nothing's set in stone. That's the beauty of a story. That's the beauty of a journey. And I have not given up on myself. I have continued to show my worth in training every single day. When I've come on in games, I'm not, you know, 36 and slow and washed up and, you know, all of these things that maybe people are thinking. You know, I'm probably having some of the best moments of my career, really enjoying the game. I've had to kind of reinvent myself these last couple of years of of really becoming more of a thinker on the field than just kind of relying on my athletic ability or my my power. So I've really embraced that. I'm obviously have the capability of still playing in the midfield and playing up top, and it's just being able to to continue to tick off boxes to become the best and most complete player in the world. I haven't stopped doing that, and I probably feel the fittest that I've ever felt, most explosive, sharpest, just my decision making on the field, and I know that things are still we'll see what happens, but the story's not over, and that's the beauty of it. And I know that I can help this team, and I know that I can play a massive role, and I want to do anything possible to help this team lift the trophy on this summer.
Well, in addition to it not being over for your career, we're hoping the Sixers isn't over soon. And I understand that you're a Sixers fan.
Yeah, we're following your tweets. We saw you retweet Lane Johnson out there. You're just a sports fan, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a Jersey girl. I grew up being a Philly sports fan my whole life. I actually really enjoy going to the Sixers game. I have the opportunity to ring the bell. And, it's a purely entertainment festivity, going to a basketball game in Philly. And it's fun. Aside from the game, there's always things going on. And, I was happy to see that the Sixers bounce back. That was a huge game, and I think if they can consistently kind of bring that amongst all of them, they should take game seven. So hopefully we see the same Sixers team come up big, and I'll be rooting for them every step of the way.
Well, we'll be rooting for them with you, and we'll be rooting for you and watching the team. We thank you so much for the time and wish you all continued success in overcoming and going along with your journey.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Have a great one.
One of her teammates is now, I believe, on the lines. Samantha Mewis, are you on?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
So how much time do you have until practice?
I think we're leaving for training at 3:30 on the West Coast, so a couple hours.
So is the weather better there than it is in your hometown of Boston?
I don't know what the weather's like in Boston today, but it is beautiful here. It's like 70 and sunny, so no complaints about being out here.
We don't want to make you jealous, but we know you're a Dunkin' Donuts fan, and we did have some chocolate munchkins outside the studio. So
I am jealous.
Yeah, we hear that that's where it's at.
Well,
for
then
you.
Before we get to anything serious, what's your favorite munchkin?
Chocolate.
Is it chocolate?
See, Jeff, you need to do your research better.
Is there a second favorite, or is it do you just pick out the chocolate ones?
I mean, if it was like a box of 25, I would probably pick out all the chocolate ones.
Sam, we ask nothing but the hard-hitting questions here on the show about food types, and Jeff's always good for a food question.
Uh-huh.
How exciting is this time for you, though? It's under a month away, getting ready to go to the World Cup, obviously prepping and playing hard. What's this time like for you? Nervous, excited, anticipating, a little bit of it all?
Yeah, one, it's super busy. There's just like a ton going on. Obviously, practice is like our number one priority, but it kind of seems like every day there's something else going on. So it's been really busy, but also just so exciting. I mean, obviously, this is a dream come true for me. And the fact that I get to share an experience like this with my teammates who are my really good friends, it's awesome. And I'm trying to just soak up every bit of it because it's going to be like an incredible journey. So I'm really, really excited, and staying busy is good, but mostly just excited and looking forward to getting the tournament started.
What's it like for you and your sister? I know that you two are both professional soccer players, and for your family in general, I understand that that your parents are very proud.
Yeah, I think so. It's so cool to get to share this with my sister. I think that so few people out there really understand what it's like to be a professional athlete and all the things that come with it, like the travel and being away from loved ones and even all the really good things that go with it, like the idea of winning and going through and getting to train with your teammates every day and all the fun things. So I think that sharing it with my sister has brought us really close, and it's something that few people understand. So the fact that I can always call her with either problems or with good news, and I know that she'll really understand and get it, is something that's really brought us together over the years. And I think that for my parents, I think it's so cool that they get to watch us both play. I think they've always loved watching us play so much, and I think that luckily it's just continued on well past our high school days, and I feel really lucky for everything that they've done for us just over the years to give us all the opportunities that they did. So it's definitely a big family thing, and we all really enjoy going through this together and getting to share some of these like awesome memories that we've had.
And you haven't just like played in the backyard or played in a local league. You were both on World Cup teams, the under 17s in New Zealand, the under 20s in Germany. What's it like not only to play with your sister, but for both of you to put on the colors of your country to do it?
And play around the world doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a huge honor. I mean, of course, representing your country is, it's just this huge honor, and it's a responsibility, and it's something that you don't want to take lightly. And getting to do that with my sister and represent our family together when we were younger was unbelievable. I think we traveled places like New Zealand and Japan and Germany, and we got to go to all these unbelievable places when we were teenagers. And I think that that's like kind of unbelievable. I don't think I fully appreciated it at the time, just because I was so young, and the full grasp that I was traveling the world as a teenager was pretty crazy. But to get to be doing what I love, sharing it with my sister, sharing it with my parents, it's really cool, and we're really, really fortunate that we've been given all these opportunities, and the experiences that I've had have been amazing.
Last year you suffered, I think it was November of 2017, actually, you suffered a knee injury. Did you think at that time, or were you concerned at that time, whether you'd be able to get back in time for the World Cup this year?
My knee injury was, there was a lot of questions around it, mm-hmm. and we weren't really certain exactly how it was going to impact me. It was kind of like an unclear path forward. It was kind of a, should we get surgery? Should we not? Should we wait it out? And I think that fortunately I was in really good hands, and the people who were working with me made all the right decisions. And I'm actually playing with no pain now, which we weren't sure was going to happen. So I think when I was going through it, there was some worry, of course. And I really wanted to make sure I was back for qualifying for last fall in October. And luckily I was. And I think that, I mean, I was in really good hands, so I'm grateful for that. But I definitely, the injury was taxing on me emotionally, and I'm fortunate that I'm feeling so good now.
It came at a time, too, after 2017. You were one of only three players to play in every game. You played over 1,200 minutes and finalists for Woman of the Year. So from the mental side, I know you're into meditation and other things. Mental preparation in terms of coming back and overcoming that, how challenging has that been to kind of keep yourself patient, knowing where you were at the time of the injury, and trying to come back and not push it too much to re-injure yourself, but also be able to integrate yourself into the team?
Yeah, I mean, being on this team fully healthy and fully fit is a challenge in and of itself. So I anyone who comes back from injury while playing for this team, I give a lot of credit to. I think that the girls here are just so talented, and it's such an intense environment that it's the highest level that there is. So I think that I overcame definitely some mental hurdles to get through that, and I'm really lucky that I had such a good support system around me to help me with that. And definitely, I think that it made me stronger. I think that encountering adversity now, I will have been through something like it before, so I kind of know some of like the tricks that work for me. And definitely meditation and kind of just like the power of positive thinking are really important, and having a good attitude and everything. But also, it's the people in your life and the teammates that you rely on, your family. So I definitely learned a lot through it, and was fortunate to have such amazing people around me kind of just rooting for me the whole way. way.
You're used to playing for and with some great players as a professional soccer player. But what's it like when you make the World Cup, the U.S. Women's National Team, and come into that locker room or on the field when you all get together for the first time and just look around and go, wow?
Yeah, I mean, for the first time, it's pretty surreal. Luckily, my first couple of caps, my sister was actually there with the team as well, and I think that having her as part of that new process for me was really helpful. But even today, I mean, when I'm marking someone on a corner kick, whether it's Carly or Alex Morgan or Megan Rapinoe, I'm kind of like overwhelmed with like exactly where I am, because these women are players that I've looked up to my whole life and still do, of course. I mean, my teammates are some of my biggest role models, and I think that it's important really to maintain that perspective for me and to like keep reminding myself of where I am and what it took to get here and how important this is to me, just because I don't ever want to get comfortable here or get complacent here. I think it's a huge deal to be here, and I want to keep pushing myself to grow so that I can stay here.
You talk about Alex and Carly being role models. What have you learned from them that you've taken forward? Because now you're a role model to a lot of kids, and so what do you take and like look to when you think about that?
Yeah, well, they're both great leaders. I've learned so much from Alex, from the way that she advocates for her teammates, to the coaches, to the referee, to a lot of the parties outside of our immediate environment, just about progressing the team forward, and the way that she's been able to take all of our rights and all of our best interests into consideration when she's advocating for us, I think is something that I would like to learn how to emulate and really like reproduce myself. And then from Carly, I think I've just learned commitment. Carly is one of the most driven, hardworking people here, and that's saying a lot. And I think that she never takes a day off. She never takes a rep off. She ice baths every day, even when it's cold out. Like, she just does it all, and she never makes excuses for herself. And I think that that's something that really just showcases her mental strength and her willpower and desire to be the best. And it's something that I think everyone could learn from. I think she's just so committed to being the best that she can, and it's something that I really admire in her.
We talk a lot on the show about the impact that athletes can have in the community. What does it mean to you when you hear somebody like Jeff say you're a role model, or you see all the young girls or young boys that are out there that want your autograph or want to learn how to play like you? How's that feel now?
Yeah, I mean, it's really full circle for me, because I remember so vividly being a young kid, 10 years old, watching some of the women, like the 99ers, win the World Cup, and watching some of the women in the first professional league and getting their autograph and just being totally overwhelmed with admiration for them. And I think that when I get to kind of be on the other side of it now and sign autographs and see girls and boys who look up to me, I really remember what that felt like. And it's so important to me that I'm a good role model for them, because I recognize the impact that it had on me when I was growing up. And if I can play some small part in helping someone reach their dreams, that would really what this is all about. And I think it's an honor to be in this position and to kind of have a platform where I can inspire young kids to believe in themselves and to keep pushing for what they want.
Is there anybody that is now your teammate that as a kid you pretended to be on a soccer field?
I think I'm too old for that now. I mean, I think
the 99 team, it was probably like Mia Hamm and Brandi Chastain.
Yeah, Mia Hamm and Michelle Akers.
Okay.
I have a picture dressed up as Michelle Akers. I had Mia Hamm's jersey, so I think it was more that era. But I think I had a poster of Abby Wambach at one point. I might have been like way too old for that, but like I'm not that embarrassed. Abby Wambach was another huge influence on me. So it's definitely really cool that I've gotten to meet a lot of these women, and I even got to play with Abby a couple times, so that was amazing.
So we do have to ask, we're a Philadelphia station. We understand that there's bad news that you're a Patriots fan and you like Tom Brady. Is that rumor true?
Whoa.
That rumor
I'm
is
a Michigan
very true.
Person. So
yeah, you like
I'm
Tom Brady because you're a Michigan guy.
Speak for yourself.
But, you know, in Philly, hopefully that doesn't go over too well in Jeff. But are you a sports fan in general coming out of Boston? Or, you know, we talked to Carly a little bit. She said she sort of likes everything growing up.
Yeah, I think that being from Boston is, you're kind of automatically a fan of all the Boston teams because they're all good and they always, one team seems to win every year. So
we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that.
I know you don't.
We are sorry about the Celtics. Not really.
Boston parades.
I could see the smirk on her face right now.
Oh, yeah.
I am.
She's enjoying saying it.
I love talking about this.
Well, we would love to.
Talking about Boston sports is a good one.
We would love to have you.
Well, so wait. Before you go, have you had a chance to meet Tom Brady?
No, so now I have not.
Got to work on that.
All right, so if Tom Brady is somehow listening, Tom, after Samantha wins the World Cup, we expect you to have her at the Patriots game.
There you go.
There we go.
Samantha, we wish you the...
I appreciate that, you guys.
We're always there to make pitches.
We'll check with Matt Light.
There you go. Yeah. We always appreciate you giving the time. Love to have you back on to talk sports and soccer and everything
and
else sometime in the future. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
Have a great one. Jeff, a few weeks ago, you walked around the PGA Championship with Pratima Sherpa, who is the number one women's golfer in Nepal, among many other things. We've been following her for a while. You first reached out over a year ago, right? And that's how we met Ollie Horowitz, correct?
Well, I saw her story on, I believe it was 60 Minutes, and then ESPN also did a story about her. And I was just so moved by the story. And her, you know, we talk about the journey of athletes and what's behind the person behind the person, and seeing her and getting to meet her, and hopefully now getting to talk to her if we can hear her.
Pratima, how you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. I was so jealous that Jeff got to spend a Saturday with you and I wasn't there. I hope you taught him a few things out there. He has a lot to learn.
So how did you like the experience of the PGA?
So it's great to see like many players playing golf, like, you know, actual professionals, their pressure, like their tournament strategy. It's great.
What was it like to go around and watch these pros who you've seen as you've come up? Now you're out there. Before we get back to sort of how you've come this far, if we start at the end and work backwards, here you are now watching players that you've tried to pattern your game after or looked up to. Now you're out there on the same course with them. And I think Jeff said that people were out there cheering for you and saying they loved you. What's that like?
Yeah, that's always like feeling blessed. I always feel blessed. And I still kind of imagine like being from Nepal, like I am following the professional players and watching their games and, you know, like their worst game and their actual game, their practice round. It's unbelievable, actually.
So Pratima, we first learned about you from a story that was on television. Can you tell our audience a little bit about your background, where you grew up?
So I'm from Nepal, and my mom and dad used to work at Real Nepal Golf Club, and my dad still does. So I just grew up at golf course, and you know, I used to see many players playing golf. That's how, like, I inspired, you know, I got inspired by them.
Just to be clear, just so people understand, you actually grew up in the maintenance shed.
Yes.
Royal Nepal Golf Course. Both your parents work there. And your father, I saw the golf club that your father made for you out of a branch.
That was my first club,
Jason was asking me before the show, and I didn't know the answer to this question. Do you still have that?
Yeah, I still have. That's my, like, you know, that's my lucky stick, you know, to be forever.
Do you carry it in your bag?
Oh, no, it's in Nepal. No. I wish I could.
It was amazing to watch the segment, and, you know, I'm kind of a sentimental guy, and for you to be able to play, like, you watched your father put that stick together, and he had spent so much time on the course, and then how did you end up getting your chance out there to play once you had the golf club?
You know, I was just like swinging with the wooden stick, and one day the president of Nepal Golf Association, like, he saw me and he invited me to join the junior camp. And you know, from that day, like, I started my, like, first golf, like, real golf, you know, in my life. And then after, like, 2 weeks, I won the tournament. It was, like, fun tournament, but I won tournament. And then everyone, like, you have to practice, you know, you have a talent, so you have to practice. And everyone was, like, supporting me.
Tournament that you were in your youth organization that the president asked you to join, were there any other girls in it, or were you the only one?
Oh, no, there were, like, six or seven girls,
What has it been like, you know, then you go on, you keep playing, and they get you a set of clubs, and then all of a sudden you meet Ollie. Jeff is obviously a fan of Ollie. He enjoys getting to hang out with him. How did that come about, where all of a sudden you're out there, and here's this caddy who's out there seeing you and talking to you about your golf game?
I was just sitting in the house, like, I was talking with my mom and dad, and I got a call from my coach, and he said, like, come over the practice range, there's someone who wants to meet you. And I was like, okay, and just ran, you know, and I met Oliver, and he asked me, like, do you want to play? And of course, yeah. And then we played. Actually, I had no idea, like, he's going to write about my story.
So you just thought you were going out to play golf with somebody.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know,
exactly,
there ends up being a whole story about it.
Yeah. And then, we, like, after a week, we, you know, shoot something, and I was like, oh my God. And I feel like I had no idea, like, you know, he's just going to write my story. It's like normal for me, you know, like, I didn't feel like the big things. But yeah.
So now all of a sudden you're starting to get more attention. I saw something in one of the stories about a prize possession you got and had a framed letter from Tiger Woods. How did that come about?
Oh my God. So it was on a Saturday. I was just, like, hanging out at the hole number three, and some people from USA, they came to my house, and they said, like, we have a surprise for you. And it was in the frame, it was, like, packed, and I just opened, and it was, like, little Tiger Woods. Oh my God.
How did you know about Tiger Woods? Because from the story I saw, I didn't see a television set in your home.
In Nepal, like, everyone knows Tiger Woods. Even though they don't play golf, but everyone knows Tiger Woods. And, you know, when I was, like, 5, 6, 7 years old, like, I've been all heard about, like, Tiger Woods, and, you know, I've been watching and internet and sometimes TV, yeah.
That's amazing. And then you make your journey to the United States. How did that come about?
I came here first time in 2017 with my coach, Sachin Bhatrai. And, you know, it was, like, my first experience, like, abroad experience. And I was nervous in that first year, you know, but I went to visit to Santa Barbara City College. But I was still not confident to come here. So, you know, like, I took 2 years to decide, like, should I come here or should I stay in Nepal? But but I want to be a golf professional in Nepal, you know. So in Nepal, like, you don't have, like, actual opportunities compared to here. So I decided to come over here, and I told to my host family, Montana's family, and they were super excited. And, yeah, I'm just here now.
Was it hard to, I mean, you're the only child, correct?
Yeah.
So was it hard to leave your parents and fly literally halfway across the world to some place you had never been before?
It is so hard. It is still, like, I'm going to Nepal in the summer, but I already feel like, oh, my God, I'm just going to stay 1 month, and then I have to come back. I have to leave with my parents, you know? And it feels like, oh, it's so sad. Yeah.
When you came here in 17, I saw you got to go out and play around with Tiger. He watched your game, and at the time he said, your swing is perfect. You don't need to change anything. What is that like when the person you grew up idolizing tells you, don't change a thing? You're all good.
I totally agree. I mean, I don't want to say, like, I'm perfect, but I totally agree, because golf is not about your swing. It's about your mental activities, you know? So he said, like, you just have to work on your mentally work.
See, I need to work on my mental
golf
work.
Is like,
I need to work on my mental, like, work and my swing work, Pratima.
Yeah.
And his timing.
And pretty much everything. Anytime I go on the course, I need to work on it.
Yeah. So when you came over to the United States, in addition to becoming a college student, you have also made your way onto the Women's Symmetra Tour. Yes. So what was it like playing in that first tournament?
It was great. Like, you know, the first time the flag from Nepalese flag was there, Nepalese flag was flying for the first time at the Symmetra Tour, you know. And it was a very proud moment, and I cried that time. And also, like, all these professionals were, like, they were awesome, and, you know, they were amazing players, and I learned a lot from them. And, yeah, it was a great experience. And, yeah, I'm playing another Symmetra Tour in next weekend.
In Harris, Michigan, correct?
Yes, yeah.
It's the name of the tournament is the Island Resort Championship.
Yes. Yeah.
So you said that at the first tournament you were in, that there was a Nepalese flag. What was it like to realize that you're now in the United States representing a country?
When I saw the Nepalese flag, I literally cried, like, oh my God, I'm representing, like, whole Nepal, not as a golf course, you know, not a real Nepal golf course, like, whole Nepal.
And if they have the Olympics, if they have golf in the Olympics next time, is that something that you want to strive to do, is to play for Nepal in the Olympics?
Oh my God, that would be, like, a dream, yeah. I definitely want to do.
So do you watch all the golf you can on TV now when you can see it? Are you watching the majors this weekend and everything going on?
So I went to watch the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
Jeff is very jealous of that right now.
Were you there today?
No, I just came yesterday night, yeah.
Did you play? Have you played at Pebble Beach?
No, I want to play one day.
you haven't played there yet, though.
I haven't played. No. I really want to play, though.
Ollie might get jealous, but Jeff is willing to caddy just so that he can walk that grass.
Yeah,
if
it comes down to me or Ollie, I'll push him right into the ocean so I could caddy.
What was it like for you to be there, though, to see those golfers practicing and playing out on that amazing golf course that most of us only get to see on TV?
Yeah, one thing I noticed that, you know, because, like, we thought, like, you know, professional, also, like, the golfer professional, they only hit, like, a very serious kind of like that, but they were, like, having fun, you know, with golfing, with practicing. They were smiling, they were laughing, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's a golf, you know? It's not just focusing on your golf. Like, we need a focus, but also we need a fun, you know? And they were having fun. And they were practicing. It was amazing to see, like, oh, that's a golf. Like,
Are you able to have fun out there? I saw in the ESPN story you said, golf's my passion, golf's my best friend, so I can't lose, which I thought was an awesome attitude. But I've lost plenty, even though I love golf. Are you able to enjoy it out there and be in that moment like you were seeing some of the pros yesterday? Or are you still real focused on just trying to reach that goal?
You know what? I always tell to my friends and my host family, like, I just love to spend time at the golf course, you know, just walking with the greens, like the environment, peaceful environment, and just hitting ball. I just love to hang out at the golf course. And my host sister was asking, like, how can you do like spend like 6-7 hours at the same golf course? And I was like, no, it's fun. Like, you know, I just love to.
You're like, I'll stay there longer if I could.
Yeah. Whenever I go to golf course, I feel like, oh my God, I'm in home now, you know, because I grew up at a golf course, and it always feel like whenever I go to golf course, oh, I'm in home now, you know? So, yeah.
Are your parents still living in the same house?
Yeah, they're still living at the same, yeah.
I heard that they recently had the opportunity to come over to the U.S. for the first time.
Oh, yeah, they came last year. It was so amazing. So that time, you know, my dad and mom saw the like City College, and my mom and dad made my host family again, and my dad was like, you got to come here if you want to be professional, you got to come here. Like, he was like, yep, you know, this is the perfect place for you. And I was like, okay, yay.
So where did you take your family? Did they only go to California, or did you take them?
They only go to California, yeah.
But you had a chance to go to New York. That's where I got to see you. So what was it like for you the first time that you got to go to New York City?
So New York, I was in last year, for premiere of my documentary. Mm-hmm. And, I traveled alone because at that time my parents did not get a visa, you know?
Right.
So I traveled alone, and it was New York, kind of like, it reminded me like kind of like Kathmandu, Nepal, you know. It's like lots of people, it's like busy and like crowded. Yeah, it was amazing. Like that time, like I met Tiger Woods.
So all these amazing things happen. You come over here, you're playing golf. There's a documentary. There's ESPN stories. You meet Tiger. What do you take from it? If somebody wants to chase their dreams like you do, what advice do you give to them?
I think you have always, you know, goal, of course, and you do have like a big dream. And then, you know, it's all about hard work, your patience, and your sacrifices, I think. Because, you know, being away from parents, it's so hard. Like, it's I always miss my parents, and they always miss me. And, you know, that's the sacrifices. And then, you know, to get something, we need to give something. So, yeah, I think just hard work plus patience is called the success. So if you do hard work, you will get success, you know. And of course, and life is, I think, you know, the life is amazing journey. And, yeah, we just have to be a fun and hard work, yeah.
You know, I was going to ask a question, but you just said the perfect thing. Life is a journey, and I can tell you from having met you for a short time is your personality is infectious. You really are an inspiration, and anybody who's ever tried something and said they can't do it should just look at your documentary and your life and realize that anything can be overcome. We wish you the greatest success.
The best of luck with it, and we look forward to talking to you and following your continued success.
And good luck next weekend in Michigan.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. Make sure to join us next Friday night to help you start your weekend in style. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.